are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
My name is Ryan Berger, and my wife Nina and I have been here for 15 years. We, like Jamie said, we founded an organization called Agatas, which uses sports to share Christ. And I just want to let you know how excited I am to be here today to continue the sermon series, Stand. But if you do know me at all, you are probably wondering, why is Ryan Berger on stage today? When Scott called me 3 weeks ago and he said, Ryan, would you be willing to preach on a Sunday? My initial question to him was, have you talked to anyone from Mission Point about asking me this? And his answer was, should I? And if you can't tell, Scott hasn't been here for 2 weeks. So that kind of answers that question. He will be back next week. If you are new to Mission Point, you might leave today and you might say, I didn't connect with that preacher. I don't know, something didn't work here. I didn't like his style. Keep in mind, I'm not a preacher. So come back next week, listen to Scott and see what you think then. As I said, I am excited to be here, but if excitement was the only feeling I told you that I had, I would be lying. I feel completely inadequate to be here. I feel uncomfortable standing on this stage. I feel like a hypocrite standing on this stage. It is hard to get up here and do this. And we are going to find out together if I am prepared to do this. But if you don't hear anything else to me the entire time, what I want you to hear is, if you're feeling called to do something, if you feel like God wants you to do something, do it. Years ago, Kondo got on the stage and he said, if you feel called to do something, do it. Don't wait 10, 15, 20 years and look back and wish that you would have done something. That's how Agatas started. So I'm doing the same thing here today. If you guys feel called to do something, if you feel like he is leading you to do something, do it. That's why I'm on stage today. I don't want to be on stage today, but Scott gave me an opportunity to share him, so I'm going to do it. As we jump into this sermon today, what we're going to be looking at is Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And that is, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So the first thing, when Scott sent me this verse, I showed it to Nina and I said, Nina, look at what I get to preach on. And she goes, wow, that's tough. I was like, thanks for the encouragement. That makes me feel really good about this verse. But then what I also started thinking was, great, I have to step on stage and I have to tell people, if you see someone in sin, you have to go say something to them. That's originally what I was thinking with here. But as you spend more time in it, as I studied it, that's not really the perspective I have now. But when you're starting really looking at this, brothers and sisters, the first question I had was, if someone is caught in sin, if someone, who is someone? Is it believers? Is it non-believers? Or is it everybody? If you jump back and look at Galatians, Galatians was written by Paul to the churches in Galatia. How do I know that? It's because I'm a biblical scholar. Not true. It is because if you go back to the very start of Galatians, it tells you, and brothers and sisters with me, to the churches of Galatia. So it says from the very beginning that it is to the churches of Galatia. The next thing that gives it away is the brothers and sisters. That's a very relational way to say it. If you go through Galatians, it will start out by like an introduction by Paul. Paul might say, you foolish Galatians, so he's angry with them. He also talks about how he's astonished, but the word that they use here, it refers to a close relative or a fellow believer. So really what Paul is saying here is, it is written to the churches, to believers, brothers and sisters, believers, to someone. It actually made me start thinking about the meetings that I have every single year. I am the head soccer coach at Warsaw Community High School, and every single year, we have meetings with parents and players. And at those meetings, we give expectations, we give rules, and we say, if anybody breaks these rules, there will be consequences. We say it every time. So think about if 2 weeks after that meeting, a soccer player came to me and said, hey, coach, I just wanted to let you know that you had that meeting where you said, if anybody breaks these rules, there's going to be consequences. Well, a football player just broke those rules. I would say, I don't care. That was my condo. I would say, I don't care about football players. I care about soccer players. This was four soccer players, two soccer players, four soccer players. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. He says, to the church, to believers, so that someone is a believer. So believers, if a believer is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. The next thing that stood out to me was the fact when he says, you who live by the Spirit. What does it mean to live by the Spirit? Earlier in Galatians 5:22 and 23, but by the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So what it is actually saying in this verse is, brothers or believers, if a believer is caught in sin, you who live by love, you who live in joy, you who live in peace, in patience, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you restore them gently. And I'm just going to take a quick tangent on restore. My family loves puzzles. And you're like, what? Fruits, puzzles, what? It's fine. I have the mic. My family loves puzzles. And the process of puzzles at our house is there's the small puzzles where we put together and then you can put them back in the box, bring them out another day, you can do that. But there's also puzzles that take hours, and it takes days and days and days for our family to do this. And I would say that two out of three of the kids in our house understand the process of puzzles. We're still working with Maiden, but we hope before he goes to college, he understands the process of a puzzle. Now it's Kingston. Kingston is our three-year-old that doesn't quite understand how puzzles work. He loves the small puzzles because he can destroy those after, but he doesn't understand that we don't touch the big puzzles. But he loves to come to us and he loves to show us the piece he took from the big puzzle. Or when we wake up the next morning, we go over there and we see three or four pieces are missing. Kingston does not understand what the process of a puzzle is. But he does love when me and his mom will help him put the puzzle back together, when we help him restore that puzzle. But do you know what we found never works with restoring that puzzle? Is yelling from the other room to have that puzzle put itself back together. That has never once worked. What hasn't worked is getting on social media and saying how horrible that puzzle is and it should put itself back together. That has never worked. It has never worked texting that puzzle and telling you what to do. The only way that has truly restored that puzzle is if me, Nina, or somebody in our family gets up, physically goes to Kingston, and helps him put that puzzle back together, to fix that puzzle, to mend that puzzle, to restore that puzzle. That's the only thing that we've found that works. Now to backtrack a little bit, what I was saying earlier about the fruits of the Spirit. My problem, and this is my personal problem, maybe no one else in this room has it, but I do not always live by the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what I was talking to you about being a hypocrite. I do not always live about the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit. If I get 1 out of 7 or 8, I might feel good. But I am not always loving. Sometimes I am hateful. I am not always kind. I am, instead of gentle, I can be harsh. Instead of having patience, I could have no patience at all. And honestly, for me, I ask myself, does this disqualify me from the next step of this verse? And I hope not. But I also think Paul tells us in the next part, but watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. He knows that we are not perfect. He knows that we are not always going to be love or joyful. We might be depressed and anxious. He knows that. The next part of the verse where it's 6:2, where it says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So I'm going to talk about burdens a little bit, but I also want you to hear this. When I share here, I'm going to share some beautiful moments from my life that had hard times. Just because they say burdens does not mean everything is horrible. It could mean everything is horrible, but this and what I'm going to share, that's not what I mean. But burdens, it could be a spiritual burden, which I think ties to verse 1 because it's talking about sin. It could be an emotional or mental burden, or it could be a life burden. And so the ones that I'm going to share are life burdens. The first one that I'm going to share, if you didn't know, Nina and I adopted 2 beautiful baby boys from Haiti 12 years ago. Still beautiful, but they're not baby boys anymore. It was one of the hardest things in that moment that we had ever gone through in our marriage. We would go down to Haiti for 2 or 3 days, and we would be mom and dad for 2 or 3 days, and then we would leave. And it was hard because they thought that's what mom and dad was. They thought you came down for 2 or 3 days and then you left. It was very, very difficult. But I can tell you that through that beautiful process of adoption, that hard part, that burden, when we flew from Haiti to Miami, from Miami to Chicago, we got off the plane, we went down the escalator, and there was a group of people that went through the process with us that were standing at the bottom of that escalator waiting to welcome our kids home. And I can think of 2 times in my life where I've actually like fallen into somebody's arms on a hug. That was one of those moments. Because it felt to me like the journey that we had gone through, we were done. And those people were standing there with us. The second thing from adoption that I think about is Mathis Miller, who is an elder here at Mission Point. 2 weeks after we brought the boys home, he called me up and he said, "Hey, I am going to mow your yard, because I want you to spend a little bit more time with your kids." I said, absolutely. If he would have asked me, I would have said yes, but he didn't ask me. He just said, "Hey, I am going to mow your yard." That's not a huge thing. That is somebody coming beside you in the moment and loving you well. The second thing that I think about, I am an oversharer and my wife is an undersharer. So kind of we meet in the middle, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this one, but for 7 years, Nina and I tried to have biological kids, 7 years, and it didn't work. And we went through shots, surgeries, in vitro. We went through anything you can think of. We tried it. Didn't work. But I can tell you, Nina received a phone call one day at school, and they let her know again that she was not pregnant. Over her lunch break, Nina went to our friend's house, Monica Wayne, and she sat with Monica and she cried with Monica. And what did Monica do? I don't know. I wasn't there, but I guarantee she sat there in the pain and she cried with Nina. Is that a big thing? No. It's just loving someone well in the moment. Standing with someone in the moment, carrying someone's burdens in the moment. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? When I first read this, again, I thought it was love your God with all your heart, soul, mind. But if you look earlier in Galatians 5:14, it says the entire law is fulfilled by keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. So carry each other's burdens, love your neighbor as yourself, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. When I'm with this week, when I was preparing, I started thinking about, I heard another sermon and he said, "How brave is our church?" And he asked them to raise their hand. So I thought, why not try that? I don't know. When I think of burdens, again, it could be a beautiful time in life. It can be a hard time in life. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. And I'll say, there are burdens right now that I am going through. And I don't know if there's anyone else that would be willing to, if you have burdens, it might be a beautiful time in life. It might be a horrible time in life. But if you have burdens going on right now, raise your hand if you feel brave enough to. But I am the first one to do it. And if you look around and you see, guys, there are hurting people in our church. There are hurting people in our church. So think about this. If you're hurting in our church and someone texted you and said, hey, I love and care about you, how would that make you feel? If they texted you and said, keep going, you're doing great, how would that make you feel? What if somebody called you up and said, I'm not asking you, I am bringing you dinner? How would that make you feel? If they brought you a cup of coffee with a handwritten note on it, if they sat down and had a conversation with you or went on a walk with you, if they, for those physical touch people out there, if they gave you a big hug and just said, I love you, how would that make you feel? And you can wait for that or you can be that for someone, because there were a lot of hands that went up, and good job not looking around, but there were a lot of hands that went up. There are a lot of hurting people in this church that need love. And as I close, I just want to go back to, but watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. Why did Paul put this in here? I think it's Romans 3:23. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He knew that each and every one of us were sinners, so he knew that none of us 100% of this time live in the Spirit. We can't, we're not perfect. And he knew that, and he told us, and we all fall short. And I want you to know this word in here, restore. True restoration comes from Jesus Christ himself. It doesn't come from your mom, your dad, your brother, your pastor. It doesn't come from anybody like that. It comes from Jesus Christ. Can we help? Yes. Can he use us? Yes. Does he have to? Absolutely not. And we have a thing out here that says, if you've shared Christ, hit it. So I'm just going to take my opportunity. He doesn't care what you've done at all. He does not care what you've done. He does not care what you're in right now. And he does not care what you are going to do. He loves you deeply. He forgives you deeply. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. And that's where you come into play. You have to ask for it. You have to go for that relationship with him. So while the band plays, if you've decided that you want true restoration through Jesus Christ, come down front. Somebody from our elder team or our prayer team will be here if you've decided to make that decision today. He wants that with you. He loves you, he cares about you, and he wants to be with you forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to speak. I pray, Lord, that it's more about you and less about us, Lord. And I pray for anybody that might be feeling on, like, this is the time. I want true restoration through you. I pray that you give them the courage, Lord, like we raised our hand, just the courage to come up front, and someone will meet them here, Lord, and give them that eternity with you. I thank you for who you are. And I thank you for what you mean to us. In your name, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.